wherever. We say good morning to you and thank you for tuning in and for choosing us. Home Affairs is brought to you by Amasha Partners Limited and iCare. Dano Milk, choose tasty milk, choose nourishment, choose Dano Milk. Dano Milk, go for it. And Vitamilk, indeed, a nutritious beverage that feels good everywhere, every time. This morning, I posted earlier that you should grab, you know, I mean, get ready for class. We're in school this morning. And so if you're home, you're very much advantaged because you can actually grab your notebooks and your pens and start taking notes. And, you know, you can actually become a one day, lecturer like that because we're about to learn so much. And I am actually looking to learning so much from this conversation. We're talking about age-related fertility decline, all you need to know. And today, Doc is wearing two hats. Usually we don't add this one, but we are adding it today. Dr. Promise. Doc, what is the E?
Emmanuel.
I never knew that one. Okay, so Dr. Promise Emmanuel Sepoga, he's consultant. Obstetrician, gynecologist, and fertility specialist with SHIP Healthcare, and he's also the vice president for the Fertility
Society
of Ghana. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the one we have added today. And today he's here in all the capacities. He's also a senior lecturer at the University of Ghana Medical School. Doc, good morning and you're welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. And a big pleasure to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. I thought I was going to enjoy some of the Ghana month welcome.
Oh,
is it too early for that?
It's not too early.
It's okay.
In fact, if you're lost, don't worry. Simply, how are you? How is your family? That's what we're saying.
That's right.
Anyway, Doc, so we're having a conversation this morning on age-related fertility decline. And this is being powered by the Fertility Society of Ghana. Usually in March, you highlight some of these things. But why is this important?
Great. Yes, thank you. So as a society, Fertility Society of Ghana, we sit as clinicians and researchers. And as we continue to see patients walk in and out of our doors, we are observing certain trends.
Mm.
And so the general public may not be aware. And so one of the key issues would be this one, because as we grow, fertility function reduces. And so if you do not know, then you're just moving on with your life, trying to achieve your career, fly high, academic qualification, career aspirations, and putting your reproductive function, usually, you know, on the back burner. And before you wake up to it, time is gone.
Mm.
And we've lost a lot of reproductive function, which otherwise can be preventable. And so as a society, we've dedicated this month to create awareness. Knowledge, they said, is what is power.
It's power.
Uh-huh. So we can empower our people to make timely, important fertility-related or reproductive life-related decisions, just so we avoid the situations of having to make much more difficult decisions in the future. For instance, when the woman has become a little advanced in age and what we call egg reserves have become nearly all gone, and yet we need to help her have a baby.
Okay.
You know.
So, I mean, the basic thing I think we all know and we have heard that this thing about the biological clock and it's ticking and all that. So, we know this. Like, it's quite basic that, you know, as you grow, you may not even be able to have very healthy kids and all of those. But then, I'm wondering again, and you've answered that, why it has really become necessary, and it is born out of, you know, like you're saying, patients you have seen over the period, your researches, and you're realizing that. So what, this is on the increase. People are presenting very late, wanting to have babies.
Correct. Correct. And it is seemingly worsening.
I see.
And there are somewhat good reasons, because people are pursuing career.
And that's what you found out. You ask questions.
Yes. So a lot of career and professional pursuits. You know, you want to fly high in your career. And so unconsciously, you put your reproductive life on hold, sort of. Hoping that when you are done, you go for it.
Mm.
But it's not like that. You know, it's not that simple. And so when we say a couple has infertility, it means they've been trying to conceive for about a year and it hasn't happened. But if the woman in that couple is 35 years or more and they have tried for 6 months, then that is infertility. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And the 35 years is an important landmark for us.
So now from 35?
From 35 years, mm-hmm. if you have tried conceiving for six months and it hasn't happened, then we take that. This is infertility.
Doc, let's take it step by step.
Yeah.
So 35 years, you've tried to conceive for 6 months. What should you have tried?
Oh, if you're able to tell when you are ovulating,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So having your regular unprotected sexual intimacy, you know, at least, assuming you're not able to tell to track your ovulation, mm-hmm. then we say at least 3 times a week okay. is satisfactory.
Okay.
To make you get pregnant, all things being equal. So if you have done that, if you are 35 years yes. and above,
mm-hmm.
and you've done this for at least six months, and there's no pregnancy, you should not keep waiting.
Or keep trying.
Let's go a step further. Seek help.
So this sets the tone right and makes it, you know, brings it home.
Mm.
If you're 35 and you have, I mean, I'm not sure Doc is insisting on you having a partner or having been married, right? But if you're 35 and you have tried, especially so in your case as a woman.
Thank you.
You have tried to have, you have tried to have unprotected sex at least 3 times in a week consistently for 6 months and you haven't gotten pregnant, then you will have to start heading out to the hospital. Okay, that's established.
Mm.
Please, if you have questions, this morning I am enjoying my position because I'm also asking a lot of questions and I'm not allowed to be thinking here. 055-1111-997. Please send the questions in now. I'm asking all these questions on your behalf because as for me, I won my ball. So these questions, I am asking them on your behalf. And if you have very specific questions, apart from the ones that I will be asking, then 055-1111-997. Please send them in now. Don't wait till about 7:20 and start sending it in. We may not be able to answer it. So send the questions in now. Okay, Doc. So when this happens, and infertility happens in both men and women.
Correct.
But we're focusing on women this morning.
Yes, and a little bit on the men as well.
Okay, we'll veer into the men a little bit as well. So if a woman or a couple, if they have done this, as you have said, and they come to visit, what happens from then?
So what happens is mm-hmm. based on what we know.
Okay.
From science.
Okay.
Okay. We know that the woman's eggs mm-hmm. are limited in number. Okay. Let me put it that way. Because the girl, baby girl, is born with a pre-packed set number of eggs.
Mm.
Okay? So roughly 2 million eggs the girl is born with.
Okay.
And as she's growing, some are dying off. Up until the girl child attains puberty, when she starts having her menstruation, she's got about approximately 500,000 eggs left.
Oh.
Yes.
Out of the 2 million?
Yes. Okay. Wow. So this half a million is what is programmed to take you through the girl's reproductive life.
I see.
Of that 500,000, every month, about 10 to 20 of them are recruited. Out of that, one of them is supposed to develop and ovulate and be potentially fertilizable to become pregnancy. The rest of the 19 approximately will die off. Next month, another 10 to 20 would begin. One ovulates, the rest dies off. Next month. And so the egg reserves are reducing every month, every year.
By either 10 or 20?
Yes, between 10 to 20.
Hey!
You know, and this is what leads to the decline in the female fertility function as she grows.
I see.
Quite apart from that, the woman was born with these eggs. And so, as time goes on, mm-hmm. the quality
mm-hmm.
also reduces. It's like if your egg is fresh today mm-hmm. compared to when it is another couple of years.
Yes, yes.
So by the age of 35 again, the quality has so reduced that there are some genetic problems that become more likely to happen. You know, the things like having babies with some subtle to severe abnormalities, the most common of what we call the Down syndrome. You know,
mm-hmm.
so on the basis of this scientific knowledge,
mm.
when the woman or the couple comes, then we have to investigate. Okay? And the investigation runs across the history we take to ask whether at all you've been pregnant before. And what was the outcome of it, how far did it go, how many children, and then we're able to figure out, okay, yours may have something to do with a markedly reduced egg reserve, or the most common problem,
mm-hmm.
which is the cause of infertility in our women, is from tubal factor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tubes are, if you imagine them as a pipe, that serves as a passageway for the egg to travel down and be met by the sperm.
Mm.
And a lot of our women in this part of the world have tubal problems. And this results from previous pelvic infections, genital tract infections, that were either not detected, or the woman herself figured out she had some abnormal discharge and just did some over-the-counter or home remedy without knowing that that infection has gone up to damage the tubes. There's absolutely no way of knowing until years down, we're trying to get pregnant and it's not happening.
So the simple things we say like, oh, you have a discharge, you have candidiasis and all that
yeah.
can actually lead to some of these things.
Some of it could. And so it wow. is not your place to be able to tell, oh, this is just candida, this is just this.
You have to go see a doctor.
You have to get checked and so that it is treated properly.
Mm.
You know, because there is some discharge which is normal. In the normal vaginal discharge, it is usually clear to just about cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not so much to wet your underpants.
Yeah.
It does not have any unusual smell. It does not cause any irritation or itching or burning.
Mm.
So anything beyond this is abnormal.
Mm.
Right. If it is offensive, there's a problem. If it is itchy, there's a problem. Mm. If it is colored,
there's a problem.
Yellow, deep yellow, lemon green, deep green, brown.
Doc, you've seen lemon green and deep green.
Yes, the colors I see that I'm talking about.
Hey!
Yes. That's why I didn't mention purple in your studio because purple is not part.
Ah. You should see Daniela's face.
You know, wow. And all this would signify some form of a disease process or the other. And so you don't sit at home with things like this.
Put salt in hot water, sit on it, and you're fine.
You know, and think you're good. There may be a problem beyond that. Mm.
And this could actually, in the long term, affect your fertility.
Yes, by causing tubal damage.
Wow.
You know, if you take 10 out of, every 10 women with infertility now, 5-6 of them is a tubal factor problem.
Wow.
Yes, that's assuming they are even below 35 years. Then from 35 years and above, on top of the tubal problem, the egg reserves are low, the egg quality is low. Okay.
Now I feel like we should be talking about these things a lot more.
We should.
We should be talking about these things a lot more.
Just so we create awareness. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. So, if you're listening and you have some of these issues, and especially so, maybe you tried something at home and it worked for you. It could just be that it's a, you know, you've given it a superficial treatment. And so it's not late. You'd better start getting to see, you know, a doctor to have you properly checked before it becomes an issue. And then for us in this part of the world, quite often we may have caused these things ourselves, and then we end up, you know, binding devils and blaming our grandparents and all that for it. So let's do the right thing. Good morning, and then please say hello to Dr. Sepulga for me. God bless him for all the wonderful things he's doing for women. And this is from Senam in Lashibi. Doc, I don't know if you know Senam.
Senam, you thank do. You.
Okay, now, so let me go on to ask. I have a lot of questions coming through, but let me go on. So we've talked about why fertility may decline. You've also helped us to understand that this is backed by science, by your research, and you know, people who visit and all that you have observed. So we also established that this could happen in both men and women.
Correct.
How does it really present? Now we see it for the woman.
For the woman.
How does it present in men as well?
Yeah. So, and that's a very good question, because, you know, a lot of the time we tend to put all the focus on women. And in as much as that has the advantage of us not waiting till things get too late, it also puts undue pressure on the woman, and I must say, you know. And society appears to confer some sort of what we call a cultural diplomatic immunity on the men. And so that if the couple is not conceiving,
then it's a woman.
Everybody points fingers to the woman until, you know, until we figure it out medically. But then it shouldn't be, because strictly speaking, if you take every 10 couples that are struggling to conceive, the problem could either be the man or the woman in equal measure. And as a matter of fact, these days we're even beginning to see that in our population, a lot more of the men are having issues than the women. The point is, let us not disproportionately focus all the negative attention on the woman. It's a shared problem. So, in men, sperm production begins again from puberty, and it carries on till way later on in life. Okay? But from about age 45, there's an important hormone in men that stimulates sperm production. It's called testosterone. Do you want to give that a try?
Testosterone.
Again.
Doc, please.
My classroom, eh?
Doc, I just want to put that with you. Testosterone.
Thank you. So that hormone stimulates all the male reproductive functions, including erection and sperm production. And so from about age 45, in the case of women, testosterone levels begin to decline significantly. And so it takes slightly longer for the man who is 45 years and above to achieve pregnancy with their partner than if they were younger. And then with age, it also reduces. And so the only advantage in the case of men is that it doesn't as much affect the quality as it does in women. But there is some loss of quality also as the man ages.
You, when you say quality, what do you mean? Is it the quality of the child you may end up having?
Yes, the quality of the sperm.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So some tend to have some deep-seated genetic problems which are age-related. I don't want to go too technical. There's something, for instance, we call sperm DNA fragmentation. The DNA, which is the genetic signature in the sperm, can suffer some damage as a result of age and smoking, excessive alcohol, and so many other things. And also in the mid-40s, when the man is beginning to develop issues like diabetes, hypertension, all those things can have effects on
the sperm quality
and general well-being. And so time to conception, we call it, would reduce in the case of the men beyond 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a question here that's speaking directly to what we are discussing. My name is Na. I married at the age of 41, but we had a baby at 38. I want to believe that's when she was 38. My husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for the past 3 years, and nothing has happened. What should we do?
Adam, I think you can even answer from the notes you've taken so far.
Doctor.
Yes, yes. There's certainly a solution.
There is.
Yes.
And there's no one-size-fits-all approach to these days.
Thank you.
You know.
So you come, we investigate both of you. We'll certainly be able to figure out where the problem is. We fix the problem and the pregnancy follows.
The question is, my wife and I want to get pregnant next month. What do I do to boost my sperm production? I don't drink alcohol though. I don't smoke. What can she also do? In this case, we are talking about these things in relation to age.
Yeah.
It will be interesting, or it will be great if you made us understand how old you are. Because if you are relatively young people in your late 20s, then you should just do what we are saying. Doc, I'm answering the question now.
Yes. The only thing I'll add on is that we encourage generally healthy lifestyle. It's healthy. He said he doesn't drink alcohol, which is good.
He doesn't smoke.
Yes. But apart from that, healthy eating, regular exercise, it makes you fitter and sperms a lot more healthier. And then apart from that, like Adam says, you do what you got to do. Because the woman's eggs are of the best quality when she's between 20 to 30 years. And so that is the best time. And for us, we are most happy if everybody would complete having their babies as a woman before 35 years.
Okay.
You know, then the things that we know can happen, we've ruled those out. The rest, if anything, then we can deal with it. But as much as possible, ideally, if possible, that should be the target.
Great. There's a question here, but I'd like to ask you one or two questions before we get to this one. It says, how can I improve the egg quality? How can egg quality in women be improved, especially so as you grow? But ahead of that, I want to find out. So apart from the first question we answered, the very first one about she being 38 or she being 41 and they've been trying for 3 years. So you know that there are age issues there and it needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
But until that dawns on you, what are some of the, symptoms? What would you be seeing to realize that you probably may be having, or what experiences would you be having to make you feel like, okay, I may be having issues when it comes to fertility?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you're not likely
to
feel or see any obvious overt symptoms.
Okay.
A few persons may be lucky to realize their menstrual cycles are getting a bit irregular. Either the flow, the number of days is reducing compared to what it used to be, or the cycle, you're skipping the menses. You have your flow this month, next month it doesn't come, the next month it comes. These are some of the potential warning signs. But majority wouldn't experience any of these. It is just so when we always say the main issue of concern is the number of your
35.
Age, that number, yeah. So that should be the main thing that should lead us to seek help or take action earlier to prevent problems.
Doc, would you also advise that, I think this is in relation to this question, advise that if you realize that you're 35, before you get pregnant, would you advise that a woman of that age gets checked before they even try to conceive?
So, did you say before marriage?
No, you're 35.
Okay, 35, yes.
And now you want to start, having children.
Yes, so 35, and you now want to start because life circumstances have so made it, or you didn't know and you're already 35.
Mm.
Yes, the check would help us to be able to advise that, yes, you're 35, your egg reserves, the measure we use, there's a specific measure which is supposed to be between 1 and 3, and you are around 1.1 or 0.9.
Mm.
So it tells us that, yes, you're 35, and your levels or your egg reserves are really low, so let's speed up. To that extent, yes, it is good to start to get checked. Or you're 35, but fortunately, when we check, your egg reserves are not bad, 2.4, 2.5. So yes, we're 35 and great. Because the more the reserves, the greater the tendency of having great quality eggs in there, compared to if the reserves are already too low. Okay, so there's a place for getting checked. And then we can also recommend some supplements, and that speaks to the next question.
Yeah.
That, to some extent, may help to improve the quality a little bit, just so, because we know that after 35, quality decline is there. But the thing about the quantity, I'm afraid, we don't have solutions
to that.
Because, like I said, you are born with a pre-packed, you know.
So can they finish?
Yes. And that is what happens
when you
hit your menopause.
I see. That one is done.
It's done. You know.
But nothing can be done.
Certainly, there are options to help you get your pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when we talk
but
about
But why do you even have to get there?
We wish you wouldn't get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I had a question on my mind. Oh, where did this question vanish to? I should have written it down. Okay, let me move on to ask another question. Mine will come.
Mm.
It's an interesting question I had in mind. Is there any recommendable mechanism to either multiply or increase washed away eggs? And is there any medication or food to also strengthen and energize weakening eggs as age catches up? This is from Isaac.
Yeah. I mean, so these are very useful, practical questions, isn't it? So the thing is, general healthy lifestyle is good for everything, including your eggs and your reproductive function. Beyond that, yes, we have some specific supplements that we'll recommend for persons, particularly women who are 35 years and above, just so we try as much as possible to see what we can do to optimize the quality of whatever eggs a woman has beyond 35 years, because we are now talking about it. Certainly, somebody's already 35 and beyond and will need help. So yeah, there are some supplements we use to improve that. Indeed.
Okay. Very interesting questions. Can you please ask Doc for me? I am 37 and my husband has dry ejaculation due to a surgery he had. I want to get pregnant. What do I do?
Okay.
What is dry ejaculation to start with?
So dry ejaculation, some people use that to refer to when the semen is the fluid that the man releases. And that semen is supposed to contain the sperms, which are living things. And so some situations happen where, as a result of previous surgery or some past infection in the man, the tube that allows a sperm to flow out of the testes is blocked.
Mm.
So there's some secretion that comes as a fluid but does not contain any sperms.
Wow.
Okay. So in this case, the man is producing the sperms, all right, but they are stuck in the testes. They are not coming out. And that's one of our interest areas. So we did a research recently and we found that we are able to go into the testes to harvest those sperms. and use it to fertilize the woman egg.
Wow.
And nearly 52 out of 100 would conceive when we do that. You know, it's called testicular sperm extraction.
Mm.
And we use that to get those special sperms that are very precious and inject it into the egg in order to achieve fertilization.
Right. So what, in this case, nothing can be done for the man to be able to, you know, ejaculate and have the sperms released?
No, because like I said, so whatever comes, the semen is a fluid. And in there, you must have the sperm, which are the living things.
Yeah.
But so that fluid that comes is not all from the testes.
Mm-mm.
As the semen is coming, the fluid joins it before it comes out. So the sperms are stuck in the testes, but the secretions are still able to come from, say, the prostate gland. So the only way we can get those sperms would be do a tiny procedure and get into the testes to remove the sperms and use them to fertilize the eggs. So it's not as if nothing can be done. So nothing can be done to conceive without intervention is what you meant.
Mm.
You know, but there are interventions, fortunately, to solve those problems.
This would be very frustrating for a couple.
For a couple.
Especially if you don't have this knowledge.
Yes.
Mm.
But fortunately, we have there solutions. Yeah.
Great. Now somebody made me remember the question. I was going to say that, Doc. Mm. I want to ask a typical home affairs question.
Yeah.
You know, and then someone just reminded me.
Great.
So at 35, and I'm sure, I mean, the people who visit you, you would realize that at that age, most of them are not even married. Or they are not even in very serious relationships because of things that they may have found themselves in. School, chasing career, and all that. There's no time to take breaks and all that. And if a person like this visits you, you talked about the measure. And this is like 1 point something. And so we need to act fast. Aren't we promoting, you know, like, okay, go and look for someone to impregnate you and have a baby without building homes and families?
Now I see the home affairs in the question.
Because let me relate it to this question that brought it up. He says, please, I'm 36 years now, not married, and I have no children. I haven't had any symptoms of fibroids before, but planning to get pregnant before the year ends. Mm-hmm. That is whether I am married or not. Please, is there anything medical I am supposed to do before trying to get pregnant in order to have a smooth pregnancy and having a healthy baby at the end of the pregnancy? This is from Regina.
I like the end of the question, you know, because I'll take it from there. We actually want every woman to be healthy before embarking on pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a healthy woman who, before getting pregnant, ensures to some extent a healthy pregnancy and a better pregnancy outcome, which is what brings me to what we talk about as preconception care, which again is something we don't do.
Yeah.
You know, when you are planning to start having, to start embarking on pregnancy, it's extremely important to see a healthcare person, check your blood pressure, do a few labs, do an ultrasound scan, check to see if there are any things that we need to correct in order to improve the pregnancy journey. Then your blood pressure is high, it wasn't detected, your blood sugars are high, and you have a baby, and you get pregnant, unfortunately, it affects the formation of the baby. Down the line, we realize that, oh, the baby has no head. Mm. The baby has this major congenital problem. Just because we didn't take those initial steps to get checked and to correct something before. You know, so that's very important. So as she's trying or planning to embark on pregnancy, it's very, very good. We do a general medical check just to make sure you are good, or just to correct A, B, C even before. And in her case, being 36, she would definitely benefit from some supplements, like you said, to improve a bit further the quality of her eggs, right?
Mm.
Now, your question, now, the answer to that is that we're not necessarily promoting single or unplanned family situations, but we are promoting what I would rather refer to as steps towards fertility preservation, if you may. Okay?
Okay,
you are approaching 35, or you are around 35, or you just crossed 35, and there are no signs of Mr. X appearing so soon, or we are not having any stable blah blah blah, we have the option to harvest some of the eggs,
okay,
and freeze them.
Mm.
Okay, so we go through a minor procedure. Every month, the woman is supposed to release one egg, like I mentioned, and then the next month, one egg out of the 10 to 20 that may potentially be fertilizable. So we put in some medication, some injections to make sure that we develop multiple eggs at the same time to see how many of the 10 to 20 that would have gone waste we can rescue. So we can do that and then develop about 10, 12, 15 eggs using medications.
Mm-hmm.
And then we harvest these eggs through some procedure, not so major. So we harvest and we have obtained about 12, 13, 15 eggs. And then we freeze them in your name. And them night, day, date of birth, and then this code, and it is yours.
Okay? How long can you freeze the eggs?
So for now, the technology hasn't shown any limits as yet,
okay,
which is a good thing. We've got frozen eggs for the past 10 years, which we're able to use to have babies and more.
Okay.
So with that, we've done this for you at age 35 or 36 or 34 or 33. And then...
Can you do it at an earlier age?
Yes, you can.
Even better, I guess.
Yes. Like you said, the egg qualities are best between the ages of 20 to 30.
Okay.
So once we get this frozen, then you go on, achieve all your career goals, MBA, KBC, da-da-da-da-da-da. Then if at age 42, you are ready, we have 34-year-old eggs. Because once we freeze, the eggs do not age any longer. And so those eggs are of better quality and give you a better chance of having healthier babies.
Doc, is it just healthy eggs or, you know, good quality eggs that ensures healthy babies? At that age, like it or leave it, you probably are 40, 45. Your eggs have been frozen, so they are still about maybe 32. Mm. Is that enough? How about your age and your personal health?
Yeah, so that's also very important. But looking at the circumstances, that is why I had established that for us, we are most happy if every woman is done having babies by 35.
Okay. Yes.
Because after 35, quite apart from the egg quality related issues, egg quantity related issues, we're also concerned about your general health. Pregnancies that are later on in life tend to be more at risk of problems like hypertension in pregnancy, diabetes in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But these, once we know you are in that category, we are a bit more aggressive in looking out for them proactively and dealing with them. We are prepared to take care of them because that is the situation we have. But I have established that as much as possible, if you can, get all done
By 35. Okay. Now, let me add another home affairs angle to this one. Hopefully, as you're frozen your eggs and you're going around, you're also making enough money, like you're getting good money. Because if you have your baby, say, at age 45 or 50, remember in a few years you're going to be on retirement and the economy is not waiting for you. So if you were running around, then let's hope that you were making money
and saving
and investing, yes, so that the child doesn't come to suffer because now you are not working and you don't have money. So the considerations are a lot.
Yeah.
They are a lot.
Yeah. But you see, that said, we let's, how do I put it? Yeah. We are also happy to know that the technological advancements we have now are making it possible for us to achieve these reproductive goals even later, so that for the woman who is already in the 50s, it's not all lost, right?
Yeah.
It's not all lost.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
all lost,
yes.
yeah. Because the oldest we've had was 56 years, you know, and she was able to have her baby and she's happy. And so there are people who are in that category already.
Wow.
So it's not all lost, but for those of us who are younger, that's the point. Let's try and make it earlier.
Great. two questions in one.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Adam. I am 42 and my husband is 48.
Mm.
As I am writing, I am 12 weeks pregnant. Is there any danger ahead of me? This is from Evelyn.
Mm.
Then the next one I saw, oh yes, I have it now. I am 50.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is 56.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a child. What do we do?
So let's talk to the 50-year-old, because she's already at 50.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs a child. So like I said, thankfully the technology available now enables us to help her to have a baby.
Okay.
That's why I said the oldest we've done so far in Ghana here was about 56, right? And so there is hope for you at 50. Yeah.
Even if you haven't frozen your eggs earlier?
Yes, even if you have not.
Okay.
Because based on your circumstances, we discuss options, including the use of donor eggs, where we get a donor that would match you, put it that way, and use their eggs with your partner's sperm to fertilize, prepare your womb, and you carry your pregnancy, and then have your baby or babies. Okay? So there is... There is a solution for you, regardless of the age. Now, for the other listener who is 42 and thankfully 12 weeks pregnant, it is great news, because not many people are able to conceive spontaneously like we have discussed at that age. There are few concerns we have to look out for. Between 12 and 13 weeks, there's some detailed scan we need to do to assess that the baby is all formed well. Just because we have at the back of our heads that at that age, there's a slight increase in the chance of having some issues with the baby. Mm-hmm. This is not to raise your anxiety.
Mm.
It is just so we check and assure you and ourselves. Then again, we wait. When we get between 20 to 22 weeks, we do a more detailed anatomy where we check the brain, the spinal cord, the kidneys, the liver, all the organs, and tick that everything is formed and developing well, or no, something is slowing down, so we need to put in some and other interventions either during the pregnancy or prepare for some other interventions at the time of delivery. So it is good, you need to get those close monitoring or surveillance done, and then you are good.
So, Evelyn, on this note, from what Doc has said, we'll say congratulations to you.
Yes.
To start with. And then, I'm not sure Doc has said that certainly you have any danger ahead of you. No. He's just saying that, from your 13th week onwards, some detailed checks will have to be made. From now, exactly. 13,
yeah.
And then after then, they will even do some more detailed ones. And this is all to ensure that you have a healthy baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your doctor is not talking about it, please tell them that you heard it on Joy FM. Dr. Sepoga says that right now, some detailed checks will have to be made. And so they will have to do that for you. Otherwise, congratulations. And we're praying that you have, a safe delivery. And please, when baby comes, send a message so that we can come for the naming ceremony. Plenty questions. But we have a bit of time, so we'll get into them. Now, the joy of every parent is to see their children cheerful and hearty. To achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients and multivitamins which can promote their welfare. One of such nutritious beverages is Vitamilk Soy Milk Drink. Vitamilk Soy Milk is made from natural soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein, that's vitamins B1 and B2. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. Remember that for the past 20 years in Ghana, Vitamilk has been consistent with its product quality. So go on and choose Vitamilk Champ for your children, because it has plant proteins and it is nutritious and amazingly delicious and satisfying. It comes in its regular soy milk drink. We also have the Vitamilk Energy and the multi cereal with no caffeine, Vitamilk Choco Banana Strawberry. You can have it in a 250 ml and Vitamilk 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. You want to tune into Joy FM every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Hits FM on Mondays at 5:30 a.m. Joy Prime TV on Saturdays at 7 a.m. What's happening there? Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast program sponsored by the Church of Pentecost. And it comes your way with the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, Apostle Eric Nyamiche. Once again on Joy FM.